This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the results, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This show is brought to you by Green King, your home of pub sport. With over 900 sports pubs around the country, Green King is where the fans go, showing every broadcasted game for West Ham. Head down to your nearest pub and you can enjoy every live sporting event from BT and Sky Sports on tap. If you download the Green King season ticket app, you can receive a free drink when you register and 10% off a great range of drinks before, during and after any match. So head to the App Store and search season ticket to download the app. When registering, if you use the promotional code West Ham Way, which is all one word in capital letters, you'll get an additional £5 off when you spend £15 on drinks. Green King, it's where the fans go. Your home of pub sport.
You're listening to the West Ham Way podcast with Dave and X. Oi, oi!
Hello and welcome to the West Ham Way podcast with myself, Dave Walker, an ex-WH employee. We have finally beaten Brighton in the Premier League and in doing so, find ourselves second in the table after three games. That coupled with another exciting new signing, can life get any better? We talk about the game on Saturday before getting news from X and answering questions from patrons of the West Ham Way. The curse against Brighton has been lifted. Bloody typical that we wasn't there to see it, but we watched it on the telly, like many others. It's a win that puts us second in the table. It's fair to say that it was a good day at the office for West Ham on Saturday.
Oh, hallelujah, mate. 12 years in the making to get there at last, I think it is, something like that. It's crazy to think the hold they've had over us, but brilliant. So shattered that curse now, and happy days. You couldn't grumble with that at all. I was hopeful of getting a point out of it. So to get 3 points and to be so comfortable was brilliant. And I thought, it wasn't the greatest of performances in terms of possession and quality of football, but it was a very, very, very effective performance. And at the end of the day, if effective performances get you 3 points, they're the ones that you want to do.
Well, it's all that matters, isn't it? I mean, I've got to be honest. I'm the first to criticise David Moyes when things aren't going well, but I have to be the first to credit him when things are going well. And on Saturday, I thought we got it spot on. I agreed with the team selection. I agreed with the way that he set up, the shape. I agree with the fact that we typically played a counter-attacking system. I think you have to against Brighton. They're a good ball-playing side. They play out from the back. And yes, it's always a bit of a dangerous game when you play counter-attacking because you're inviting pressure. But I think it was the right way to approach the game, which we did. And I thought we defended fantastically well and thought we were really clinical in front of goal. It was a really, really good win. And to score 3 goals away from home anywhere is a big achievement. But to get it at Brighton was just absolutely fantastic. And you look at the patrons, they voted for Areola as man of the match, which in itself probably tells its own story. I don't know about you, I can't disagree with that, because there was one occasion when he dropped a cross, I think. Other than that, I think he was absolutely faultless. So would you agree with me and the patrons that he deserved the man of the match?
I think so. It was harsh on a couple of other players that didn't get it, but on the balance of it all, I think it probably is the right decision. Some of those saves at the end of the game kept the score as a win to us. I mean, one of those saves was absolutely superb, where it was hit really hard from close range, swerved a bit, and he managed to get a hand and tip it over. I thought he played really, really well. As you say, other than that fumble, which thankfully didn't lead to anything, the actual shot stopping was superb. But then I think it was quite harsh on... So some of the other players who put great shifts in. Antonio, again, holding that line, running that line and scoring a great goal. I mean, the second goal was absolutely phenomenal, by the way. Benrahma to Bowen. I mean, Benrahma's pass, Bowen's touch and finish, sensational goal. I thought the centre-backs were superb. You know, credit to Ogbonna, 35, coming in for to stand in for a game like that. You would have thought he was younger and more, you know, used more regularly than he has been recently. So I thought he played really well. Zuma played really well. I thought Suchek started the game really well till he went off injured. I thought Ward-Prowse was effective. I mean, it's very hard to single out a player that didn't play well, to be honest with you. Emerson's been a revelation since he's established himself in the team. I really like him on the left. So yeah, really, really great performance all round, but probably, yeah, on the balance of key moments and contributions to winning that game, then yeah, it probably was a fair result for Areola to get man of the match. Yeah,
does it bother you winning a game with just 22% possession? How do you feel about that? Is it all about the win, or would you like to see more?
It doesn't bother me, really. At the end of the day, it's 3 points, and no one's going to look back and say, in time, oh yeah, you beat Brighton, but you only had 22% of possession, so I'm not sure why you're happy about that. No one would ever say that. At the end of the day, obviously, you want to win a game with more possession, more chances, more control in terms of overall play, but the scoreline was 3-0 at one point. When they scored, it was, you know, one goal, and yes, they had a couple of shots at the end, and Areola did well. But on the whole, we were in control. I'd much rather win games like that with 20% possession than lose games with 80% possession. So it's a effective way of getting results. Whether it can last, as you know, as we have touched upon later on the show, whether it can last, I don't know, because you do have you know, you have to work a lot harder when you haven't got the ball. You know, it's a well-known statistic in football. You have to work a lot harder when you haven't got the ball. So whether we can maintain this forever, I don't know. But teams against teams like Brighton, who, you know, are very good at home, very attacking, very direct in terms of their, you know, quickness at getting the ball to their forwards and the quickness of getting chances. I think counter-attack, nullifying and counter-attacking them was brilliant. And let's be honest, last time we went there, we lost 4-0. So Moyes has obviously done something right to get the tactics to go from a 4-0 loss to a 3-1 win. So, you know, I think as long as we pick up results like that, that's the way forward. It's more of an away day tactic, I would say, to have that little possession. I know we did it against Chelsea, but at the end of the day, like I say, if it's the result is a positive one, then I don't really care that much, to be honest.
No, I make you right, mate. I mean, I've got to be honest. You know, winning against Southampton 1-0 last season with, I think it was, again, about 20% possession wasn't ideal. It gave me the ump a little bit, but ultimately it does all come down to the win. And I think you're right, actually. How much can you sustain that? I mean, I'm all for a counter-attacking approach against certain teams, especially away from home. But I do think we've got the quality in the squad to be on the front foot and play possessional football against the majority of the division, to be honest. But, you know, look, at the end of the day, what the fuck does it matter? A win is a win, and that is all that matters, really. X, your memory's better than mine. My memory's terrible. Who's that fella we used to have in midfield?
Nine Pieces?
No, more recent than that.
Frank Lampard?
No, even more recent than that. He began with a D. Not Pat Rice. He played for Arsenal. What was his name? He's a good player for us.
Basamic. Oh, he said a D, didn't he? Yeah, I know. It's typical. I don't know what to say. Like, it's I don't want to dig in too much. And obviously, we've done the podcast in reverse order, so it's a bit weird to sort of do it for reasons like that, you know, the listener doesn't need to know. So I know we talk about this in the last section, but you know, he has gone. I'm not going to go over what I said in the last section, but what the key thing with him going at this point is the signings that have been made in his absence, well, in his departure.
Spent well,
and that's where teams come unstuck. You know, it's happened with many clubs before. It's happened with Spurs, with Bale. It's happened with us, with Ferdinand. It's happened with, you know, maybe we'll see Brighton with selling Casado, you know, and it'd be interesting to see how these teams recruit. But looking at West Ham, we bought very, very well, and it's very early days. You know, I was thinking about this earlier, like that if you take the three results, like the equivalents of last season, sorry, I've got hiccups now, I've had a barbecue, hence why this is all the wrong way around, and then you were held up this morning, so it's all been a mixture of a crazy day. But what was I saying? We drew at Bournemouth this season and beat them last year, yeah, and actually Declan Rice scored in that game, so you're minus 2 points there. Chelsea, we drew at home last year. Declan was really, really ill for that game, I remember. Played it, but was very, very ill. Ended up 1-1, so that's 2 points that way, so you're on balance. And then obviously the Brighton game, we got battered last year and we've won that game. So effectively, at the moment, really, you scale it down, we're 3 points better off after three games than we were equivalent fixtures. Now, let's just see where we are at the end of the season. I think we will be really better off, but obviously it's a bit too early to call. But yeah, I love the signing of Ward-Prowse. I think Alvarez has impressed me quicker than I thought he would. Tends to be players coming from a different league that's never played in the Premier League, and South Americans, to stereotype a whole continent, seem to sort of take a bit of time to adjust to the league. But I thought he looked brilliant when he came on as a sub, and I thought he was very good against Brighton before he went off and was obviously shattered. Great two signings there. I'm extremely excited for Kudos. I think from what I've heard, and again, I talk about this more in my section, he's a great player. Mavropanos has been highly rated in Germany. You know, German defending is not quite as prestigious as Italian, say, but it is known. They are known to be very good at their, you know, and have powerful, strong centre-backs. I know he's Greek, but he's played in the German league and succeeded there. You know, four signings for the price of one. You'd have to credit the club on that.
You know what, mate? Everyone listening to this show now will know how hard it is at times to support West Ham, more often than not, actually. But how fucking nice is it that we can sit here and talk so positively? Because also, historically, you know, we're not good starters in the Premier League. And to be sitting here undefeated, second in the table, albeit after just three games, and we're talking about some really exciting signings coming in, and we enjoy watching West Ham. It's, even if you're picky, you know, you just can't moan. And we all know, as a fan base, we are partial to a bit of a meltdown from time to time, for whatever reason, whether it's Moisey, whether it's transfers that we're not making, performances, defeats, all that kind of stuff. But it just feels really good at the moment, doesn't it? Really good.
Oh, definitely, mate. And let's keep it that way. It feels so much nicer to be a fan when it's like this. You know, we've picked up some good results, performances. You know, I think tactics have been spot on in all of the games. We made some good signings. It's just so much more enjoyable to support West Ham like this. And I just urge people that are known to be quite negative just to try to hold it together for a bit longer than maybe people have done in the past, because a positive feeling and a positive momentum is so important. It really, really is in any walk of life. If you go into an environment where you've got to perform and you've got a supportive network with people encouraging you and there's a good feel to it, you're so much more likely to perform in that scenario than in a scenario where you've got your critics, where you're scared to make a mistake, where you know if you do something wrong, everyone's going to be on your back. And if we can just maintain it, it's so much more productive. And also, let's get it right, there are millions of fans out there, fans of many clubs, that are in far worse positions than us. We currently sit second in the league, albeit after three games. We've just won a trophy for the first time in 43 years. We have just made some great signings, and we're not done yet. You know, find out more in my section. That this is a good time to be a West Ham supporter. Let's just enjoy it for that. Yes, there'll be times when Moyes gets tactics wrong. Yes, there'll be times when we play badly. Yes, there'll be times where individuals don't put in performances. There's always going to be a disaster around the corner with West Ham because it's West Ham. But let's just sort of try and put it into a bigger picture, and things aren't that bad. Things are actually very positive. I'm gutted that I didn't go to the game at the weekend, and those reasons are revealed later on in the show. But I am... But I would love to have been in that crowd. And I'm going on Friday, and I'm not going to miss a game as much as far as I can try, as in my own control, all season, because it feels just so good and it's so positive. So let's just enjoy it while it's there. We're champions of Europe. You'll never sing that to many, many fans.
And to think you wanted Moyes' sack last season.
Yeah, right.
Disgraceful.
I try not to look so smugly. When West Ham fans were chanting on Saturday, I heard it. You know, the old song, "We've got Super David Moyes." I heard it again, and I thought, I wonder how many people singing that were like literally calling for his death last season. But anyway, wow. We moved. Some were, mate. It was brutal. Some people,
yeah,
but I know,
a bit over the top. But
well, you know, that's how dramatic West Ham fans get at times. But it's. Let's not dwell on that. Let's not rub it in people's faces. Let's just all unite as one. We are West Ham United, and we're so much more stronger when we are united rather than when we're divided. With I hate Moyes, you like Moyes. I don't like the board, you like the board, I don't like Suchet, you like Suchet. Let's just all be West Ham fans, supporters, and enjoy what it is for now, because it's good, man. It's really good. We're about to start a European campaign soon, albeit we can't go to the first away game, but we are about to start a European campaign for the third year in a row. Happy, happy days.
I win. That's what I do. I win.
You do, mate. But
by the way, how fucking good is Darmish at impressions?
I know, unbelievable. I think you've got
unbelievable. David Moyes, by the way.
I think you've got a rival. I really
massively.
Do. I'd like you to have an impression.
I feel inferior. I challenge him to do a better suit check than me. I will say that. But you know, across the board, I think he pips me, mate. David Moyes is bloody impressive.
It is. I do think at some point, maybe for a Christmas special, we should do a. Impression off. So I'll just pick a random name out of the blue, and you both got to do your impression of him, and we'll get the listeners to vote who won each one, and then the overall winner gets a prize. And obviously, if Darmish wins, you'll find some reason to say it was a fix, or so that the rules weren't right, or you know, you're not playing it again. So I know what happens in the future, mate.
To be fair, I have a very random repertoire of impressions. I mean, we're talking about Chris Eubank, Nigel Benn, Thomas Souček, Matthew Kelly from Stargate, with a bit of Wayne Lineker thrown in for good measure.
Wayne Lineker? I don't think I've heard Wayne Lineker. I think I've obviously heard all the other four, but not him.
I've definitely done Wayne on a show before. You remember? You want a bit of Sausage Girls.
You sound like across between Ray Winston and I can't make it out. To be fair, I'm not actually sure I know what Wayne Lineker sounds like. So this isn't the best audience.
But it sounds like that, to be fair.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah.
We'll have a bit of meat, don't we, girls?
Can you do an impression of Darmesh?
The thing is, I think across the board, you know, the best people to do impersonations of are the ones with the most distinctive voices. Yeah. So, you know,
I reckon you could do a good me, probably.
I can do you, but I wouldn't put you through that.
I don't think you've ever shown me your one. I've got to do me.
No. Because I'll have to script it properly first. I'd have to do it justice and make sure that there was some context to the script. So maybe if you're okay with it, in the next couple of weeks, I can maybe do you.
Yeah, maybe you
for
could
want
do
a better expression.
Yeah. We're not in Amsterdam now, mate.
That's a great night, though, wasn't it?
I've had bad, to be fair, but maybe you could do my section as me.
Oh, that'd be amazing, wouldn't it?
Yeah, and see if any... Oh, that's a good one. Why don't you do my section as me? I'll give you all my notes and stuff and show you how I do it and see if anyone notices that it wasn't me.
I'm not that good, to be fair. Oh, I'm not that good.
That'd be a challenge. Or
yeah. I think, why don't... Maybe as a Christmas special, why don't I imitate you in your section, you imitate me?
I don't have the vocabulary of swear words to imitate you. if it's talking without swear words, I'm fine. You're
too good. You're better than that, to be fair. You're better than that.
my parents didn't raise me to speak like the likes of you.
Yeah, yeah. You didn't get dragged up, yeah. You're not the dregs from Hainault that I am, yeah. No, fair enough. I'll take that on the chin. But let's get back to the football. A goal for Prowsey and his second game for the club. I mean, he looks like one hell of a signing. For the, yeah. Prowsey, yeah.
There's another Y to the repertoire of who's dished out by Dave Walker.
Yeah, and we did touch on this later in the show, why not JWP? That seems quite long to me, JWP, whereas Prowsey, it's familiar, it's said with affection, and I like that, Prowsey.
Oh, James, you can shorten to Jim. Oh, just Jim.
The old J-Dog.
Yeah, J-Dog. Or...
I could do. But Prowsey's all right, I think, for a nickname. I'm going to go with Prowsey. I'm going to go with Mavropanos. I mean, that's a fucking nightmare for me and my OCD with names. So he's Big Mav, as we talked about later on.
What about Wardy P? I like that. Sounds like a rapper.
Yeah, coming in your ears. Yeah.
Yeah, like,
Wardy P.
J. Wardy P.
Wardy P. Oh, there you on go. The ones
and twos. Yeah, exactly, mate. Brilliant. He's doing it just for you.
Wardy P. Oh, God, I love that. Well, we'll stick with Prowsey for now.
Okay.
I think he does look like a great signing, Nick. I mean, to your knowledge, X, were any other clubs in for him? Because if you look at him, you know, very loyal to Southampton, unbelievable dead ball specialist, captain material, England international caps. I find it hard to believe that firstly, we've sort of nicked him for the money that we paid for him, but also the fact that we didn't have rivals in this transfer. It was literally no one else in for him.
Well, they made up the rumour, I think, that Spurs are interested in him. And I think that was a Southampton counteract for tactic to us, where we were saying, right, well, if you're not going to lower your price, we're going to go and sign Tominay, or we're going to go and sign some of the other players that were linked around the same time. And I think Southampton counteracted it by putting it out, because it was a Southampton journalist, I think, that put out that Spurs are interested. So I think it was a bit of to and fro. I don't think Spurs are ever interested, hence why I never really reported it. And they just signed Maddison as well. I don't think you could have a midfielder of Maddison and Ward-Prowse. They're two sort of similar. So I think it was like, I don't think there was anyone concrete in for him. No, and again, as I say later on in the show, I just think it's a brilliant signing. I think it's a sensational bit of business. He will add at least 10 to 15 goals in terms of goals and assists. He's already done three. We played three games. He's got two assists and one goal. So I've already proven my point. He will be, I think he will be a Hammer of the Year contender. I think he'll be involved in so much of what we do. It's a brilliant signing. The fee that we paid, 30 million, isn't much in the world now. And also, what's so good about him is his characteristics. You can, like as in a personality, you can already see he's a good lad. The players seem to like him. He's popular. He's going to be a great servant. The only thing I can think that maybe put people off signing him was his age, maybe, because, you know, he's like, what, 28, is he, I think? And maybe people thought, he's just a set-piece taker. He's 28. He's going to be 29 this season, but I've just looked. So maybe they thought he was too old. He's just a set-piece taker. But actually, as I say, he works really hard. He covers a lot of ground. He's much better than just a set-piece taker. You don't play nine times or whatever it is for England if you can only take three kicks, because, you know, that's just ridiculous. It's like Martin Allen's story the other day of the guy that's had a long throw. You know, but this guy has to be able to at least play some kind of football. And the Southampton fans loved him. You know, when Ward-Prowse left, the video that Southampton Football Club put out to mark him leaving was beautiful. And that shows the impact he'd had on the whole town. And I bet you he will be forever remembered. Not quite up there with the likes of Letitiae for them, but probably in that second tier of legends at Southampton. And, you know, he's a great signing for West Ham. Mark my words, unless something catastrophic like a big injury happens to him by the end of the season, we'll all be talking not just at West Ham, but in the Premier League about what a great signing that was.
Yeah. And do you know what I love about Prowsey as well is, and listen, we're in modern day football where money talks, right? And we've had countless amount of players over the years that have joined West Ham for a pound note. But with Prowsey, I think he's genuinely grateful to be at West Ham. No disrespect to Southampton, but Southampton ain't West Ham. And we picked him up and put him in a 66,000 seat stadium. And I just think he's grateful to be here. And I love that. I love that because if you're grateful to be at a football club, you play for that badge on your chest. And as West Ham fans, that's all we ask. Mm. And he is one of those players. You mentioned before about the stats of him running. I mean, he runs and runs and runs. He runs and runs and runs because he fucking cares.
Yeah.
He wants to win and he wants to do well and he wants West Ham to do well. And I love him for that reason. And I think once he's bedded in and given time, I can see him potentially getting the armband. You know, I know Kurt's had it, but I think with James, he's a regular starter. He's popular. Like you say, he's a good lad. He's humble. He's honest. And I think he shows all the attributes of someone that should be wearing the armband. Do you know what I mean? I love him. I think he's a great signing. For the money we paid for him as well, brilliant.
Spot on. And you know, think of it of other bonuses that are not talked about enough. If you want to get his name on the back of the shirt, it makes more money for the club because there's loads of letters, Ward-Prowse. So financially, it makes sense.
Unless you get Prowsey.
Yeah, true. That is one point.
If you're really fucking hard up for a few bob.
Yeah, you could do. Or the other benefit of him is the chant. You can sing, just sold my car to Lucas Paqueta. Just sold my house to James Ward-Prowse. It's perfect. It's written in the stars. It was meant to happen.
Yeah, it's great. It's so good. And it was his 50th Premier League goal, by the way, against Brom. His first in Claret and Blue. First of many, we hope.
Yeah.
Mate, what a fucking goal from Antonio, by the way. What do you think chances are of leaving next? I don't want to sort of piss on your cornflakes with your section, but, you know, do you think there's any chance of him going? Because the thing is, we both said he'd be mad, Moisey would be mad to let Antonio go. But if there's a sort of money that's floating about in terms of an offer from Saudi Arabia, if one of those offers comes Antonio's way, you kind of almost understand him wanting to go, wouldn't you? Mm. And is there a chance that he might?
At the moment, he doesn't. Moyes doesn't want him to go. That's the bottom line. He's a Moyes player. Moyes converted him from a winger to forward. Moyes does not want to lose the one forward he can actually rely on. You know, out of all of Moyes' time at the club, aside from Arnautovic, there hasn't really been another forward he can rely on. So Moyes doesn't want him to go. The problem you got is Antonio has voiced that he wanted to go last season. He's been a bit unhappy. He likes to be the main man. Obviously, he is the main man at the moment. I was told, as it comes in my section, but I was told that we want to sign a backup to Antonio. So to me, that if you analyse the language used, that suggests that Antonio is staying and that any forward, like the Brazilians that I report on in the next section, is signed. They are a replacement for... they are backup, sorry, for Antonio, not to necessarily challenge him for a first-team spot. The problem you've got is if a Saudi Arabian team comes in and they've been circulating for the last few weeks, if they say, right, we'll buy Antonio for 15 million and we're going to make him, you know, go to 250 grand a week or whatever it is, because he's probably on about 75, 80, I would say, at West Ham. I think he's not in the top end bracket of earners, but he'd probably in that sort of next tier. And that's just me speculating. I'm not giving away players' contracts because people get annoyed when I apparently do this. So that's just me speculating where he might be. If he goes to Saudi Arabia, he's going to earn a lot more. And he's 33. So he's at that stage of his career where, you know, he's got to think about setting himself up for life, which that move obviously would. It's a tough one, which is I just think we've got to pray that a Saudi team doesn't come in for them. And if he does come in for him, if they do come in for him, we say no, and Antonio just deals with it. But whether that will happen, I don't know. You know, 4 days or whatever it is now, 5 days is a long time in football. I recorded our section, as in my section, sorry, section two, 4 hours ago now, was it? And I'm already thinking it's going to be quite out of date by the time people listen to it. That's how quickly things change in the last week. So
picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
We have to see it.
Because, you know, I mean, I've said myself on this show that... You know, yeah, you would be, I mean, it would be one hell of a turndown to not go to Saudi Arabia with the sort of money that they're throwing at players these days. And so many players have already gone there. And we've spoken about Saudi Arabia's ambition to dominate the world in football. And some of the names they've already got over there is incredible. But you talk about them being set up for life. A bit of a side question, really. It wasn't part of what we was going to talk about. But ain't they already set up for life? I mean, I'm not being funny. If you're on 75, 80 grand as Antonio, you're not hard up for a few, Bob, are you? I mean, unless they're going to give him 200, 300 grand a week, does he need to go?
I mean, it depends what, how sensible he's been with his money, doesn't it? I mean, you know, he has written off Ferraris, dressed on Lamborghinis, dressed as a snowman before. So I can't imagine his financial sense is that strong. So it would depend on how sensible he's been. But at the end of the day, he. Yeah, I mean, look, if you could go from having a very, very comfortable life. So, I mean, that's not life. If you've been on 75, 80 grand a week for the last 5 years or whatever, then you're going to be pretty sorted. But if you want to live the high roller life for the rest of your life, you know, earning quarter of a million, let's say, a year for the next 2-3 years, if you put that sensibly away, well, you're going to live like a prince. And your children are going to live like Prince and their children. And he's got a big family of children, I think, from memory. So it's quite a few to look out for. So, yeah, it depends what your expectations are in life. Of course, if you're your average Joe like myself or you, earning 75 grand a week for the last 3 years would be amazing for us. But these footballers are so used to being flash and having flash cars and watches and clothes and holidays and whatever. If he's going to sustain that, you know, from 35 until he dies, he's going to need some big income, and that would be the way. And often these footballers don't see anything but a pound note. You know, we've got personal experience of ex-footballers doing that. So, yeah. You know, the footballers that are, a lot of them just, as a lot of us do, just see money, money, money. And I think it'd be very hard to turn down. And what I'd like to think is, you know, he started the season brilliantly. He scored 2 goals in 3 games. He could go on to be, you know, one of the top scorers in the league, and West Ham could have a really successful season. Then maybe at the end of that, he'd still have an opportunity to go to Saudi Arabia. That's what I'm hoping will happen.
Yeah. It's so funny with Antonio, isn't it? Because, again, up there with Carlton Cole, really, in a sense that he's either absolutely dog shit or he's absolutely world class, isn't he?
Yeah.
So strange. I mean, if you were to say to me, Dave, if there's one player in his current team that would get an open goal opportunity from 4 yards out, who's most likely to miss it? I'd say Antonio, and I'm including the fucking keepers in that, by the way. but then you look at some of the stuff he does, his work rate, his strength, his pace, at times his assists, some of the goals he scores. He can be an absolute world-beater, Mickey.
Mate, the phrase I was texting my friends at the weekend was, he's either the shittest brilliant player or the brilliantest shit player. I can't work out what it is. Like you say, even if you just take that Brighton game. So the assist to Ward-Prowse, he got an assist. He charged the man down, got the ball, got an assist. brilliant. There was one just before that where it was almost identical and he didn't square it when he should have squared it, and that was a complete waste of possession. Then he scored a really good goal, turned his defender out inside out and smacked to the bottom corner. Then literally 5 or 10 minutes later, he's played through against the keeper and he blasts it over. Like, he just, it's just so inconsistent. And this is why you can see that he never played for an academy when he was younger, you know, that he had to work his way up through grassroots and work his way up, because people would have obviously known he was a talent. But when he was at training at, you know, a top club, if he ever went to training or to trials or whatever, they would say, like, 1 minute, they'd go, oh, yeah, he's tasty. And then he'd miss an open goal and go, ah, no, maybe he's not composed enough. Then you go, oh, hold on a minute, that was good. And then they'll be like, oh, no, actually, that was terrible. And I think just because of that pure inconsistency, he would have never have been technically good enough to be in an academy. But because he's obviously so unpredictable and so hard to play against, you know, I bet if you was to ask many of the centre-backs in the league who is one of the toughest forwards you play against, it wouldn't surprise me if many named him, because he's just he's so unpredictable, even he doesn't know what he's doing.
No, exactly that.
So how can a defender know?
Who's that player that played for Swansea? Is it Ashley? Well,
Chundle, do you mean?
No, he's separate off.
Williams.
Yeah,
Ashley Williams,
international. Ashley Williams.
Yeah.
Someone was talking to him about Antonio, and he said Antonio's a fucking nightmare to play against. Horrible play against. And he would be, wouldn't he? I mean, imagine if you enter off and you come up against someone with that much strength and that much pace. Those two attributes in itself is a hard day's work, isn't it, if you're a centre half? And it is, you know, it's so funny because, like you said, and you're absolutely right, and I've said it myself, he's so unpredictable, even he doesn't know what he's going to do with a ball. Mm. So what fucking chance have you got if you're a defender? Mm. But whatever way you look at it, an incredible servant to West Ham. I mean, he's, I don't know how many years he's been here. He can't be a million miles off his testimonial ex, can he?
He joined in the last season at the Bolin, didn't he? That was his first season. So he would have joined into, I think it was January from memory, 2000. Right. And, would have been 2016. I'm just quite quickly typing it into Google now, but I'm pretty certain that that was his last season. He joined West Ham 2015. And he's been here since. And he's obviously our top scorer in the Premier League now. An absolute hero. And I think the thing is, like, he doesn't maybe get the sort of hero. Actually, it was September the 1st, 2015. He doesn't get that kind of, hero recognition that perhaps other players would do, and I don't know why. Maybe he'll be more appreciated when he leaves the club, but he's been a brilliant signing. You think he cost, was it 7 million from Nottingham Forest on September the 1st 2015, and he's like our top scorer. He's been brilliant for us, you know, and yeah, I like him as a player because he's so, as you say, he's so fun to watch at times. I mean, I'm looking at his Premier League goal scoring record. Like, when he was playing as a winger, he scored more goals than he did last season in the Premier League when he was playing as a forward. Yeah, he scored 5 goals in 33 games last season, which is crazy when you think about it. And he's actually only ever scored a maximum of 10 goals in the Premier League season. But then some of those seasons, he only played 24 games because of injury. So the fact he's got 2 in 3 now is a big step for him.
I mean, see, I don't want to be disrespectful to Antonio or West Ham, but the fact that he's our all-time Premier League goal scorer, I think that says more about our fucking strikers than I think it does about me. And I don't want to take anything away from him because, again, you know, that's a record he should be very proud of, and I hope he is. But, you know, when was the last time we had a prolific goal scorer? And I'm talking touching 20 goals a season.
I couldn't tell you. I mean, the last time probably was Carlton Cole. No, that's not prolific, is it? I mean, he's scored quite a few in one season. And then Bellamy, maybe. But then he was injured.
I don't think so, you know.
Yeah, Bellamy was injured a lot. Ashton, maybe Hartson, you know, it's Kitson. Yeah. It's not regular that we have a prolific goal. So Jermaine Defoe was obviously around, but, you know, he wasn't prolific at the time. Di Canio wasn't overly prolific. You know, an out and out goal scorer. We haven't had many, have we? Let's be honest.
No, I mean, my definition of an out and out goal scorer is a goal scorer that is going to deliver you 20 goals or as near as damn it. And I don't think we've had one of them for a long time.
The last one, I think they would have scored 20 goals in a Premier League season. I think, like Sheringham and Harewood might have done it in a Championship, the last time in a Premier League season, I'm pretty certain would have been Hartson.
Yeah. That's what I had in my mind, yeah. Yeah, it's mad, isn't it? Absolutely mad. But then again, you know, modern day football, goals come from all over the pitch now, don't they? I mean, some clubs don't even fucking play with a striker in this day and age, which is mental. But I mean, we've got to talk a little bit about Jarrod Bowen, because you touched on it earlier and you was absolutely spot on. I don't think enough has been made of that goal against Brighton.
No.
It was absolutely world class. That control and that instinctive finish was something else. I mean, if Haaland from Man City would have scored that, we'd never hear the end of it.
Mm.
That was different class, wasn't it? And Jarrod is different class, isn't he? And I really hope that sooner rather than later, we get this deal tied up with Jarrod, because he's a fantastic human being, by all accounts, and a fantastic player as well, X, isn't he? We're lucky to have him, really.
Mm. Oh, mate, if that was, say, I don't know, Barcelona of old, and it was, I don't know, Iniesta playing it to Messi, for example, that goal would be shown over and over again. You would see it on Twitter hundreds of times because of the ball from Benrahma is literally spot on. The way he holds it up, curls it literally perfectly. Bowen's touch is phenomenal. And then the finish is so well placed with all the correct backspin on it. It's a brilliant, brilliant goal. And I think because it's West Ham, it's not being talked about enough. Bowen scored, obviously, against Bournemouth. He's on fire, as the song goes. He's a very good player for us. And a very good player, full stop. I think we are very lucky to have him. I think we need to get him tied down on a new deal ASAP, and we need to just basically have him as our golden boy at the moment, because, you know, what more do you want from him? He's a real great player. He's only 26 as well. You know, you've got another... Yes. It's not even at his necessarily his peak. 28 maybe is your peak. So I think, what a player, and I really like his attitude. I think the one good thing about not going to the game at the weekend, when I tried to scratch around desperately for positives for not going, was that I got to see the interviews after the game, and I thought Bowen came across brilliantly on Sky in his interview.
Yeah, absolutely. And I probably shouldn't say this, really, because this is probably getting a little bit too personal, but. You know, he's also, by all accounts, a lovely man as well, like a proper, proper man. Like, when he met Danny, he took on her son, and he's gone on to have two twins. And apparently, I think it's Santiago, the kid that isn't his, he is like a dad to that kid. So he's a proper stand-up man. And apparently, when they have a Chinese on a Saturday night, for example, he turns up with his little Tupperware pot, skinless chicken, bit of rice, the ultimate professional. And he comes across like a lovely man as well, and a grafter. I mean, he grafts for West Ham. And again, by all accounts, privileged to play for West Ham. But he loves playing for West Ham, and that's what you want from your players, you know. And good luck to him. I absolutely love him. Jarrod, for me, is up there with Paqueta as my favourite player. Absolutely love him.
I mean, it's so important when you recruit players that you get players with the right attitude. Like, you know, you can, any player that's in maybe even the Championship and above, or, you know, any top league in the main leagues in Europe, is going to be able to play football. You know, they've got to be turned, they've got through, you know, the academy system. That have been, probably most of them would have been a youth international for their country. So they are literally like the elite players. You know, the percentage of people that want to be a footballer that actually are a footballer is just minuscule. So, you know, from like Championship upwards, as I said, French league, German league, Spanish league, Italian league, you know, Portuguese, you can probably go for most of the top ones in Europe. and obviously South American side, you know they're going to be of a certain standard. But the key thing about a player making it now is their right attitude and the right mental attributes. You know, mental attributes are as important as physical and technical 100%. Attributes, and that's what Jarrod Bowen's got. He works hard. He wants to win. He's respectful to the club and his career. He comes from humble upbringings, as in, you know, his career started at Hereford, you know, not even a football league team, on the borders of Wales. I think he used to help, I think the story is he used to help on his dad's farm or something when he was a kid to build up his fitness and stuff. You see a picture of him with his mates in the stand at Hereford, and he looks like a bit of a geek, for want of a better word.
Yeah.
And he's, and he's obviously just like dedicated his self to the football and the profession. He's very grateful for the privileged position that he's in, and as you say, you know, I think marrying into or getting into the Dyer family probably has its challenges, and they seem to absolutely love him, and it's I think, you know, I think that's a credit to him that he's taken on somebody else's son as his own. Didn't have to do that, you know. He's a good lad, and let's hope he gets back into the England fold, because I think that would be fitting for him to be a regular international. And if I was Gareth Southgate, of course I'm biased towards West Ham players, but I would have him in my squad, because if the chips are down and things aren't going to plan, there's no one better to have on your side than him.
No, absolutely. And someone in the family literally described him as a beautiful human being. But do you know what, though? The best people on this planet are from humble beginnings. They are. They are 100%. And it is so true, X. And you're absolutely spot on when you say the mental attributes to you playing football is just as important as your ability. I mean, you look at the likes of Ravel Morrison. How many of the ex-players have we spoken to, X, that have... He was a joke. Like, he was the best player they've ever seen in training, but didn't have the psychological strength to go with it. And it is simple as that. And the best players on the planet have both the ability and the psychological strength. So, you know, great player. Absolutely love him. Well, we recently heard the very exciting news that another new signing has landed, Mohamed Kudus. And what a signing that appears to be, X, because, you know, my knowledge of European football is fucking diabolical, but, you know, like everyone else, I think I just YouTubed him and looked at the same old reels that everyone else has seen. But he looks like he's got great close control. We can dribble, we can pass, he can score, partial to the odd free kick. He's quick, apparently, like shit off a stick when he gets going. The type of West Ham, the type of signing West Ham fans will really enjoy, I think.
Yeah, exactly.
Because he looks like a player. But I've got to ask you, X, where's he going to play?
Yeah, that's
because,
the thing.
You know, who's going to lose their place to Kudus? Because someone's going to lose it.
Yeah, this is where things get a little bit tricky when you actually have a very good squad, because he actually is not as easy to pick your first 11. Now, I'm not going to talk about how much I think this signing is great, because I did it in section two, but let's just address the tactical question that you've asked there. I think you're right. I think it gives a really difficult dilemma, because if you add, you know, if you think of the midfield, right, of him now, of Paquetar, Souček, James Ward, Prowse, Alvarez, Bowen, Benrahma, it's very hard to know where to position him. Personally, I think you've got to play a 4-5-1 or a sort of 4-3-3, and I think you've got to have your central three of Alvarez slightly deeper toward Prowse, and then you have Paquetar, and then you have Alvarez, Paquetar and Ward-Prowse as your three, and then you have Kudus. I think he's actually a right winger, but he is left footed, so I think you could put Kudus on the left, Bowen on the right, and get the two of them to regularly alternate over to switch it up and go against different people, and then Antonio up front, and the key person I've obviously missed out there, two key people I've missed out, Souček, who is harsh, because I think he's played really, really well, but if you've got this dilemma, I mean, he's one that's got to go. And then you've got Benrahma, which again is harsh, because I think he played really well when he came on for Souček, but if you're going for what I think the strongest team is, unfortunately for those two, I think those two go on the bench.
Yes, it's fascinating, and again, it's really good to have this problem for Moise.
Yeah,
you know, not only should you be able to have options, but you should have competition in the squad because he keeps players on their toes. And apparently he's quite versatile as well. I think he can play central, I think he can play on the wing, can also play up front. Just so exciting. Just so exciting.
And the thing is, even there, mate, when we're talking about options, I've not mentioned Fornals, who's a good midfielder. I've not mentioned Cornet, who was one of our record signings last season. You know, there's players there that I haven't even mentioned. And so this is really, really good for West Ham. Really good. We need to get another striker in because obviously you've got Antonio, you've got Ings, whether Ings will be here beyond the windows, debatable. You've got Mbama, obviously a good talent, but unproven. Cornet and Bowen can play up front, but I do think you need another striker. I think you need another fullback, preferably a left back, to give Emerson a bit more competition for that wing back spot. And then I genuinely think if you add, you know, Lingard possibly to that as well, I think you've got, and where would Lingard play for another matter? I think you've got a very, very, very good squad. That's got to be the best 25 when you pick that squad the West Ham have ever had, surely.
Do you know what? That's an interesting one. I think you're right. I mean, if you put me on the spot and you say, Dave, name a better squad in terms of available quality, I'm not sure I could give you an answer.
Mate, without meaning to answer for you, you couldn't. Because if you go through each position, you know, you go for the goalkeeper, you've got two international goalkeepers. They're a French international and a proven Premier League player and international in goalkeeper. And that's not to mention the young prospects that you've also got in Hanang and Trot and Heiji. So you've got loads of good keepers there, right? So that's fine. Right back, you've got Schaffel, you've got Johnson at the moment, you've got Kerra. So that's three options there. Centre back, you've got Ogbonna, Zuma, Agued, Mavropanos. Left back, Cresswell and Emerson. Midfield, all the players we listed. Strikers, all the players we listed. So it's, and wingers, it is the best squad, because even if you look back under, you know, I'm talking like the Premier League era, and I know people get cross, but the squad game is much more important in the Premier League era than it was prior to that, when you can only have like one sub at times. So if you're talking the Premier League era, it is the best squad, because if you look in the 1999 when we finished fifth in the league, even then the backup players were no way near the quality of the first team players. Mm-hmm. Whereas if you was to play your first 11 that we just named there, say, against your second 11, it would be a close game, because your second 11 at the moment would have Fabianski in goal. You'd have Kerra at right back. You'd have Ogbonna and, I guess, Mavropanos at centre back. You'd have Cresswell left back. You'd have midfield, if you're going on what I just said, I'd have as my starting 11. You'd have Suchek, Fornals. You'd have Benrahma. You'd have Cornet. You'd have Danny Ings, Mbama, you know, even Connor Coventry's a good player, you know, and he doesn't even make the squad sometimes now. So I think the backup is the best we've had.
Yeah. Yeah, you can't argue with that. Honestly, it's so exciting at the moment. And listen, this is hopefully and potentially the last time I'll ever talk about Declan Rice on this show, because he's moved on now, and it's a relief that he's moved on, because we can stop talking about him. I say that, I'm about to talk about him. How funny would it be, X? And listen, I love Declan as a bloke. I love his family. But how funny would it be if West Ham went on to win trophies and Arsenal won fuck all? Wouldn't that be a fucking beautiful thing?
You know, I love Declan probably more than anyone.
Let's be honest, it'd be fucking beautiful.
There would be something very, very sweet about that. I'm not going to lie, you know. I'm not going to lie. It's like when Slaven Bilic, if you take it back, left West Ham to go to Everton. You know, he left West Ham to go to Everton because he wanted to win things at Everton, inverted commas. West Ham always finished above Everton in the league back in those days. He played about two seasons and then left. I used to find that very, very funny. If West Ham could win the Europa League this year and Arsenal won nothing, you know, there would be a part of me that felt sorry for Rice, but then there'd be a part of me that found it hilarious as well.
It'd be hilarious. Imagine those chants, like you should have stayed at the West Ham after fucking just like winning the Europa League or whatever.
And it would be
Cole. Well, that'd be amazing.
Oh, it would be good. It would be good to see it over Arsenal fans as well, because Arsenal fans are just absolutely horrific. Not all of them. Sorry, I'll take that back. The ones I actually know in person and the ones I actually know as people are top blokes. Most Arsenal fans are actually top blokes. It's the social media a lot that not. And it would be quite funny, like, if we did. But, you know, there's every chance. I mean, Arsenal, I don't think, are going to win the league. You know, I think Manchester City are pretty much going to win that again. And then you're going to win a cup. Manchester City tend to do very well in the League Cup. Would Arsenal win the FA Cup? Maybe. Are Arsenal going to win the Champions League? No. Or could West Ham win the Europa League? Or if they get knocked out of that, the Conference League, then yes. So there probably is an equal chance at this stage, I would say.
And that's why I don't buy into the move, X. That's why this is, honestly, I know you see it differently, but this is the case that I put forward. I don't get it. I would 100% get Man City. But if you love West Ham as much as you said you loved West Ham, why would you leave West Ham to join a club that actually can't guarantee you trophies if you loved West Ham that much? And I don't want to open up this can.
No, let's not go into, because I disagree.
We'll do another hour on this. But,
yeah, exactly.
But that's my point. But nipping that in the bud, oh, it'd be fucking beautiful. Oh,
yeah, but mate, it'd be so beautiful just not even to over that whole thing, but just to get, like I say, to get one over Arsenal fans. Like, even today, like, it is the truth. It is the truth. As far as I know, from very good sources, that Chelsea made a late move to try and sign Kudos. So I've got no reason to say that. I don't have a particular problem with Chelsea. I don't have any reason. I said it privately, which I said on Patreon. It's a loyal group of West Ham fans that there was a chance that he could go to Chelsea. I didn't put it publicly, didn't want any attention from it. Of course, as always happens with my news, certain accounts take it and use it for impressions, because what Pete West Ham fans or followers don't understand now, and this will explain the actions of a lot of West Ham accounts, right? There's now something that you can do on Twitter where you can monetize your tweets. So if you've got a blue tick and you've got a certain amount of followers and a certain amount of impressions are what people see of your, how many people see your tweets. If you've got that, you can monetize it. You turn on adverts and you can make a very good second income from it. So certain accounts, and I'm not going to name them, but most people know who I'm talking about, certain accounts like a reaction because that's what's going to get them the most impressions. So account out there, put Kudos turned down Chelsea last minute, which is true. It did happen, but he's put it out there for a reaction. I didn't particularly want that to go out there. And now I've got hundreds and hundreds of Chelsea fans in my mentions saying, oh, it's bollocks, it's bullshit, it's bollocks. But at the end of the day, I've got no reason to lie. That's what I was told by two or three good sources. Chelsea contacted last minute and said, what's the situation with Kudos? Is, you know, spoke to his agent. Can we get anything done? And they were like, no, it's done. Lays on his way to West Ham, blah, blah, blah. So it wasn't like a real strong attempt to get him. It was a last minute inquiry to see what's going on. What I'm trying to say is Chelsea fans then got into my mention, oh, why would anyone turn down Chelsea for West Ham? Why would anyone go to West Ham over the last, blah, blah, we're Chelsea, you don't turn us down. And I'm thinking, you bloody mugs, we beat you. I know, we beat you at the bloody, we beat you at the weekend, stupid idiots. I know, exactly. And I've had it all day because this account, I can't even read Twitter today because it's just full of Chelsea fans in my mentions. And I think to myself, I'd just love it if we go another year with West Ham being the only London team to have actually won a trophy, and it would just be sweet.
Yeah, fucking right. Fucking two bob, mate. Johnny come lately is fucking Chelsea. Mm. No fucking history. Oh, fuck them. Don't get me started on Chelsea, cunts. Anyway, I've got to say, last week, speaking about my ability to shorten names, or my need and desire to shorten names, and we've also spoken about it again this week, but
yeah.
One of them is Chaz, who is a friend of mine, lives in Amsterdam. His full name is Charlie Gadsden. And I want to give him a shout out because he got married last week. And you spent some time with Chaz as well, X, before the prime.
And he's the guy that I said on last week's show didn't like being called Chaz.
Yes, yes. So he has since rejected that. He said, no, I'm not having that, Dave. I'm not sure I ever said that. Now, whether he's saying that to make me feel better, I don't know. But whether he likes it or not, he's Chaz. No, he has no choice. But he got
Chaz and Dave
week.
Free.
Chaz and Dave, yeah, of course. Chaz to be with Dave, like Chaz.
Yeah.
But he got married last week, and I want to say congratulations to him and his missus, and wish you the very best of luck.
What's his missus' name?
I really wish you wouldn't have asked me that.
Why don't we
like a right gun now?
Why don't you just make it a short
last 10 minutes? By the way,
why don't you just make it a short nickname? I don't know, Chi, and it could be anything.
Yeah, I mean, well, let's go with Chaz's bird. So let's go with Seabird.
Okay, Seabird.
Like
a seagull.
Yeah. I love the way it's suddenly randomly formulating a nickname out of nothing. I've got to say, as much as I can congratulate him for getting married last week, it's also his birthday today. So double congratulations, Chaz. And also I have to say that yesterday was our very own Brawley Darbin's birthday.
Was it?
Yes, so very happy birthday to you, mate. Big love to you, boys. Big love.
Yeah, I've got to apologise. I didn't know it was B-Dog's birthday. I'm disappointed in myself.
Didn't know until I saw, I think someone referenced it on Telegram or social media or whatever it may be. Big love to you both. Congratulations to you both. And on that note, it's that time again.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.